Jeffrey DiMasso, editor of the Independent Vanguard Advisor, is here. And we're talking Vanguard funds now in the Market Call. Welcome to the Money Life Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they put it all together. My guest today is one of your absolute favorites, I know, because every time I say he's coming on, you guys send me a ton of requests. He's also one of the very few guests who doesn't give me back a list and say, hey, from all those funds and tickers, you know, tell me, here's the five that I want to talk about. Instead, when we get down to brass tacks, it'll kind of be mix and match from all of your requests. And we've got tons and tons of them. So he's not prepared. Like, he does not know if I'm going to ask about Fund A or Fund B. And he is fully prepared to talk about all Vanguard funds because that's his gig. If you want to learn more about what he does, the website is independentvanguardadvisor.com. They also have a Facebook page and a LinkedIn page. And because of the way he's doing the newsletter business, which is not everything else, you want to find him either online or in those places because he's not all over social media. But we're glad he's here. Jeff DiMasso, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me back.
We always start with methodology. Yours has always been buy the manager, not the fund. But how you determine if you're buying the manager is important. So let's start with that.
Yeah, it's really fundamental, we think, to understand what you buy. I mean, you could buy the manager, not the fund. You could almost think of it as, you know what you own. And let me give you a good example of that. So Vanguard Midcap Growth, the ticker is VMGRX, is a fund that we have not been, I've not been a particularly big fan of for 10, 15, 20 years, in part because Vanguard has used a multi-manager approach. So this is where they have multiple sub-advisors on the fund, different, you know, more than one cook in the kitchen, if you want to call it that way. And they've been searching for the right mix. They've been chopping and changing managers. And they just announced last week that they were going to be firing the two managers, Frontier Capital and Wellington Management, and handing the entire fund over to one manager, Tremblant Capital. So starting in November, we're going to have a new manager picking, call it 25 to 35 stocks or so. And that basically means you can throw out the fund's track record. Yes, it's still mid-cap growth stocks, but it's a totally different manager calling the shots. So this is where we talk about, you can't just say, oh, it's a mid-cap growth fund on the label, Vanguard, I'm just going to buy it. Well, you got to know who the manager is. And I would even really extend that to index funds as well. Just to give an example, you know, if you compare emerging market funds across the industry, whether you're comparing, you know, iShares Emerging Markets Index to Vanguard's Emerging Market Index, well, iShares includes South Korea in the emerging markets and Vanguard doesn't, or more specifically, the index providers that they've partnered with for those funds choose to include or not include South Korea. So you get slightly different portfolios. So even if we're talking, you know, I'm an index investor, you know, you still need to kind of pop the hood and understand what you own and why you own it. And that applies doubly when we're talking about actively managed funds.
With that being the case, you're also building portfolios. Is there any place where you go, you know what, Vanguard either doesn't have a manager who I like enough, or it hasn't brought in a sub-advisor, or it's got a process where you've got multiple managers and what have you. Is there any spot where you look and go, yeah, here's Vanguard's blind spot for me. I cannot, you know, complete my portfolio with only Vanguard because, you know, in my world, I couldn't buy this fund or this space. They got something that they do that badly.
So for the portfolios I build, no. You know, the model portfolios that we use in the newsletter for subscribers to use as a guide relies on just Vanguard funds. I will recommend, you know, an outside fund if a Vanguard fund is closed. A great example is the funds run by the PrimeCap management team. While they've recently reopened one of them for years, all those funds with the Vanguard label were closed. But PrimeCap runs some private label, the PrimeCap Odyssey funds. And so I've pointed to those as a place that's open and available for investors who want to partner with those managers, even though it doesn't have the Vanguard label. Look, clearly Vanguard doesn't, you know, they have a big lineup. They've got, you know, some 200 funds, but they don't do everything, right? Particularly they got a lot of press this year. They don't do Bitcoin. So if you want Bitcoin, and we could talk about that if you want to, I don't necessarily think people need to. I see it more as a speculation, but if you want it in your portfolio, you're going to have to go outside of Vanguard to do it. You know, another place that Vanguard doesn't do particularly well is, you know, the micro cap space, so like the smallest of the small stocks. You know, you just can't do that at Vanguard scale when they're at, you know, $10-11 trillion. So, you know, that's a space that they don't do, whether you need that and how much you need that in your portfolio. You know, I don't know how much it's going to move the needle for a lot of people, but if that's something you're interested in, that would be something you need to look outside of Vanguard's fund lineup for as well. But again, with over 200 funds, and not all of them are winners by a long shot, I would happily call out the funds I think could be improved upon, but there is plenty of, you know, arrows in the quiver for you to build a diversified portfolio that can navigate different market environments and help you achieve your long-term goals just by staying within Vanguard's four walls.
As for the funds themselves, how much do you want to keep everything as clean as possible? Do no overlap or very limited overlap? Because if you're buying the manager and you have overlap, you just create a closet index fund if you have a lot of people sort of trading with each other. How much of it is it's okay to have multiples in the same asset class with Vanguard?
Yeah, this comes back to trying to build a portfolio that's diversified. So look, some overlap is good. And you might say it's desirable to an extent. If you're picking, you know, two active managers and they're approaching the market from different standpoints and they happen to both own the same stock, maybe for different reasons, you know, that might be okay to have a little bit of overlap there. There's two managers kind of giving it an endorsement and a thumbs up and putting money behind it. The thing to watch out for is someone might bring me their portfolio and say, oh, I own four funds, I'm diversified. Well, it's like, well, they're all large cap growth funds loaded up with tech stocks. Like, you're not too diversified in that regard. So it really comes back to understanding the managers or the strategies in your portfolio and saying, are they approaching the market from a different mindset? You know, are they growth managers versus value managers? Or maybe they like dividend growth stocks. So they're just going to be picking portfolios that have different characteristics and behave differently in different market environments. So some might provide more downside protection. Some might provide more offense in your portfolio. And so, yeah, it's a risk that I see more often now in people's portfolios. A lot of people have really kind of gone all in on U.S. stocks, particularly the, you know, Magnificent Seven, the big tech winners. And they might say, hey, I've got a lot in S&P 500. And that's fine to say, okay, well, I've diversified with this large growth stock. They go, well, that really just kind of doubled up your bet, actually. It really just, you know, exacerbated what you're doing. It's not bringing the diversification you think it is. So I don't think most people need to get overly into the weeds on diversification. They don't necessarily need to say, okay, this fund has X percent overlap with that fund. It's more just kind of stepping back and saying, are these managers doing something different? Are they thinking differently about the market and how to pick stocks? And if they are, chances are your portfolio is going to be pretty diversified.
As I said, in your case, we don't really need to give you the whole list. You're happy to talk all things Vanguard. So before we get there, I normally ask folks, you know, do you have a favorite? But you made it clear it's always going to be Vanguard until you're looking for something that they can't do or that they don't do well, et cetera, or you have that sister kind of relationship. So I don't know that we need to say what's a poster child, et cetera, but I do think we need to say what does make you sell. In other words, once you found a company, is it simply that the manager goes away? Or is it ever that the manager loses their mojo?
Well, manager departures are definitely easier to identify than a manager losing their mojo. Because the challenge with active managers is they are not going to outperform every time and over every time period in each market cycle. So trying to identify when a manager is out of favor, you know, is that, you know, a temporary moment or a permanent, they've lost their mojo. I think that's maybe the hardest thing about partnering with active managers is staying disciplined and trying to make that call. And it's not an easy one to make. We've done both. I've stuck with managers who've been out of favor and been there when they've come back in favor. And then there's other managers where we've said, hey, you know, I think they've maybe lost a bit of their mojo. You know, example there was Vanguard Healthcare, actively managed fund. We owned that for a long time. You know, there, Ed Owens was the longtime manager. He's kind of a legend that no one's really ever heard of in this space, just a really magnificent track record. His successor, Gene Hines, also a very talented manager, but part of what led us to kind of move on from that fund wasn't so much the manager change, but it was that, you know, Gene Hines then also became high up in Wellington's leadership and ultimately the CEO of the company. And we just kind of felt, okay, she's got a lot on her plate that, you know, can you manage a $20, $30, $40 billion fund and run a $1 trillion investment firm. That just seemed like a lot on her plate. So that was one where we were able to say, okay, like we think that there's just, you know, something's changed here. We're going to move on from that fund. But it is, that is the difficult challenge of working with active managers, is trying to identify, is this a temporary out of favor or is this something more systemic to the fund and the manager?
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some Vanguard funds and ETFs that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
I've got a good feeling about this.
Well, the only thing I would not feel good about is you've got so many Vanguard requests that we won't get through that many of them. But you can always get more information on the funds we're talking about and the ones we're not talking about by finding Jeffrey DiMasso at the Independent Vanguard Advisor. The website, independentvanguardadvisor.com. That's where you will go to get more information. You know how quick and dirty works, so we are going to jump in. We're going to start with big and broad, and then we'll move to more specific things. So Bill in New Orleans gets our first request. It's Vanguard U.S. Growth, VWUSX.
Can I give you hold and in between? You know, I think that's a really well-run fund. My concern with it more is just about, you know, the growth space and how much it's run ahead. So I think for me, that's kind of a manage expectations type fund. You know, it's up, call it 25% a year over the past 3 years. If that's what you're building your expectations on, I think you're going to be disappointed. But that doesn't mean that it's, you know, not a solid fund.
So good fund, not great market conditions means
no money changes hands today.
That's a hold on VWUSX, Vanguard U.S. Growth. We'll go international and we'll lump two requests together from David in Missoula, Montana. He wants to know about Vanguard International Growth, VWIGX, and Vanguard International Explorer, which is VineX.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with international growth. I guess I might contradict myself here from that last one, but you know, that's a buy for me. The managers there, Bailey Gifford, are some really patient long-term growth managers. And growth stocks overseas haven't had the same run-up. So I quite like that fund. It's one I own personally. International Explorer, small caps overseas, you know, active management should in theory work, you know, if you believe there's more inefficiencies there. But I actually prefer their index fund, the World XUS Small Cap Index, VFSAX, if you're looking for foreign small cap stocks over there in Vanguard Stable.
So when it comes to Vanguard International Growth, VWIGX.
Buy it outright.
But when it comes to the Vanguard International Explorer.
Buyer beware, dude.
Yeah, because he prefers VFXAX in the same space. Let's go from that to Vanguard Explorer. Mike in Redwood City, California wants to know about VEXRX.
Yeah, kind of same as the last one. I think this one, it's a multi-manager fund, lots of managers in it. I think you're just going to get an index-like return while paying active fees. So I'd much rather just go with one of Vanguard's low-cost small-cap stock index funds.
No soup for you!
Yeah, no soup on this one. Vanguard Explorer VXRX, better off just sticking with the lower-cost ETFs. And speaking of ETFs, let's move to ETFs now. Tony in Henderson, Nevada wants to know about VEU. That's the Vanguard FTSE All World XUS fund.
So I actually give that one a sell. You know, it's a fine fund, very diversified, low cost. I just think that you can get similar exposure with Vanguard Total International Stock ETF, VXUS. A little broader, it includes small caps where the VEU does not. So if I'm going to index, I'd rather just buy the whole haystack rather than part of it.
When it comes to VEU,
you know, maybe it's time to sell this.
Yeah, but it's not just time to sell it. You'd be looking instead at buying VXUS. Our next request comes from Javier in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's for the IVOO, the Vanguard S&P Mid-Cap 400 fund.
I think that's a solid fund. I would consider that a buy. I would also give the mid-cap ETF, VO, a good hard look as well. But mid-cap stocks are often overlooked, particularly in this market where it's all about the biggest of the big stocks out there. So I think that's a nice pick.
So IVOO and VO.
Could we please buy now?
Those are buys. Mark in Mitchell, South Dakota. And I know this request has been going on for a long time because Mark, I haven't heard from you for a long time. It's Vanguard Industrials VIS.
Oh, Chuck, you know, I don't have a great opinion on sectors in the short run. Industrials, for me, that one's, I guess, kind of a hold. Industrials tend to, over time, kind of match the broad market with, you know, somewhat similar risks. So kind of fine, not like some of the other sector funds, which tend to be really up or down. Industrials tends to just kind of more match the economy, match the market. So I'm okay with it, but it doesn't particularly excite me.
God, that was boring.
Not excited about VIS, Vanguard Industrials. You at least could hold it, but again, all the warnings that Jeff just mentioned in there. And we're going to finish with two requests from Richard in Chula Vista, California, moving into fixed income. The first is for the Vanguard Intermediate Term Bond Fund, BIV. The second he shares with Dan in Williston, Vermont, it's for Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bonds, VCSH.
Bonds are back. You're finally earning a decent return above inflation, which hasn't been the case for much of the 2010s. So yeah, BIV, the Intermediate Term Bond Index, great low cost, broad exposure. Short-term corporate, you know, I think corporates might be a little bit expensive here, but, you know, a solid pick yielding over 4%. Nothing to shake a stick at.
We finish on a higher note with the Vanguard Intermediate Term Bond Fund, BIV, than with the short-term corporate bond because of the price of the assets. But both, well,
either gets on board or he gets left behind.
Either get on board or you get left behind. And unfortunately, we can't stay on board any longer with Jeffrey DiMasso. But Jeff, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Thanks, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Jeffrey DiMasso is the editor at the Independent Vanguard Advisor. Independent Vanguard Advisor, spelled with an E at the end, E-R. IndependentVanguardAdvisor.com for more information. We'll be back. We'll put a bow on this show right after this message. It's not fully done if you leave now.